folks. Greetings from John Laird, all the Renfro Valley folks, to you and all your folks. And we include in our greetings our visitors who have come to be with us in person here in Renfro Valley, Kentucky this morning. Seems like regardless of the weather, we still have listeners who are willing to face it, make the trip down here to see what goes on in the valley where time stands still. It really does seem to stand still during these colder months when fewer people come this way. Now, if you're waiting for warmer weather before you come down to the Saturday night stage show at the Big Barn and the Sunday morning get-together, we can't much blame you. And you'll be just as welcome anytime you come at the Renfro Valley Gathering. Say about the weather this morning in a roundabout way, and I don't reckon we need to enlarge on it. Only if we don't mention the weather, at least mention it, lots of listeners get after us about it. Now, Miss Bess, you get after the old parlor organ, see if it's a good one that you can get another chord for us out on. Count your many blessings. Helpful listeners and readers offering to send us articles to be photographed for our What Is It picture for the front page of each issue of the Renfro Valley Bugle. Now, to save a lot of postage and the chance of getting it lost in transportation, if you send us a good photo of the article instead. Now, ordinary snapshot is seldom good enough to reproduce on newsprint, so if you can get a better, clearer picture, well-lighted, that'll be best. Now, we still have many items here in the Pioneer Museum to test your memory or your knowledge of old-time things, but we appreciate having other folks send in things for this department, too. If you have something very unusual, write us about it, and we'll pay for having a good photograph made of it if we think it'll be of enough interest to our readers. Now, the article shown in the January issue of the Bugle, which you now have, was sent in by a friend up in Westfield, New York. We don't know what it is, and neither does he, although he's an experienced antique dealer. So we're glad to run the picture, hoping that some of you can tell us what it is. And speaking of the Bugle, don't fail to take advantage of our Americana column, where you can find things to buy, trade, or sell, many of the old things that you happen to have or want to find. It doesn't cost you anything. Remember, a full year's subscription to the Bugle, only $1. Address Renfro Valley Bugle, Renfro Valley, Kentucky. And now the Farmer Sisters, Bess, Marie, and Hazel.
Thank you.
Miss Bess, I know that folks are tired of hearing me promise you every Sunday that we'd have that organ fixed for you before the next Sunday, but we can't turn a wheel till Slim Miller's here, because he keeps the tools he works on the organ with hid out so nobody else can get his job when he's not here. So you try to make it one more week, then maybe we'll have it fixed. Emma Griffith of Battleground, Washington, is 103 years old, still does lots of knitting. Florence H. Treadway of Delavanda, Kentucky, celebrates 100th birthday. John Manette of Inkster, Michigan, is 98. Mrs. Ellie Jelks, McCrory, Arkansas, 95. Ms. Laura B. Little, Montclavia, Ohio, 92. And our very special friend, Ms. W.T. Davis of Mount Vernon, Kentucky, has had another birthday, her 91st, though you never suspected. Mr. and Ms. Martin Matherly of Osawatomie, Kansas, are celebrating the 76th wedding anniversary. Mr. and Ms. J.B. Wood, Fairview, Kentucky, have been married 64 years. Mr. and Ms. E.E. Sheridan, Sidon, Arkansas, 63. Mr. and Ms. Oliver McFall, Baltimore, Ohio, 62. Mr. and Ms. W.R. Banks, Donovan, Missouri, 62. Mr. and Ms. Harm Schurte of Esteline, South Dakota, 60. Mr. and Ms. George Hine, Bowling Green, Ohio, 60. Mr. and Ms. Harley Spencer, Big Springs, Kansas, 56. Mr. and Ms. Otis Midkiff of Bradenton, Florida, 54. Mr. and Ms. Ernest Frick of Candiojo, Minnesota, 53. Mr. and Ms. Otis E. Thompson, Detroit, Michigan, 52. And for golden weddings, we have Mr. and Ms. R.J. Schroeder of Olerton, Kentucky. Mr. and Ms. Alfred Creeps, Glenwood, Minnesota. Mr. and Ms. Simpson Prather, Anderson, South Carolina. And Mr. and Ms. Robert Helms of Atlanta, Georgia. Columbia City, Indiana, a letter from Mr. W.A. Hazen, who offers us some old yellow poplar boards for use making up benches and desks to replace those with which the old Redbud Schoolhouse was once furnished. Says he won't have a chance to deliver them before he comes down to the all-day sing, which will be the first Saturday and Sunday of August, of course. Well, since we know what we're getting, we'll just go ahead and fix up the rest of the desk, leave the big long one that ran along the side of the building until Mr. Hazen has a chance to get here with the material that he had. In the meantime, if anybody who lives near or passes through Columbia City on their way to Renfro Valley could stop and pick up one plank 18 inches wide and 12 feet long and bring it to us, we'd get the schoolhouse job completed just that much sooner. By the way, if any of you who once taught or attended school in the old Redbud Schoolhouse hears this program or send us a picture, we'll be glad to add it to the collection of them. We'll be displaying in the schoolhouse when it's finished. We'd like to have them all there if we could. There was an old photograph made of the school itself, the old schoolhouse and the students, more than 50 years ago, closer to 60 years ago. I'd give a whole lot to borrow one of those long enough to have some copies made if anybody still has one. And now Joe Fisher to sing for us.
It now lies on the shelf. It is faded and torn. That dear old shawl my a love. beguiled. How gladly I'd fly from the world's bitter throng to seek the heart that throbs beneath the shawl. It is useful no more, yet I fondly adore that dear old shawl my mother wore. And through life it shall be a love treasure to me, that little old red shawl my mother wore.
You know, we haven't said anything about the old Renfro Valley Country Store in a long time, and maybe some of our listeners who have joined us in recent months would like to be taken through it. By the way, there's a good possibility we'll be starting a program 5 nights a week from the old country store before very long, so you keep an ear open for it. Our Renfro Valley Country Store is just that, nothing more. Just a big long building with a front porch and a false front on it, like most of them had 50 years ago or more. It's furnished with real old fixtures, old shelves dating back to 1818 from a store in McKinney, Kentucky, old counters and showcases from the U.G. Baker Store, a Pioneer Store in Mount Vernon, also glass showcases from Uncle Billy Pointer's candy store that I visited as a child, a stock of high-button shoes, celluloid collars, corsets, and the like on display, not for sale, I don't know if anybody wants them, and the very old cash registers, the kind that you put clay marbles in, and the cigar store wooden Indian that Mr. Lawson, the man from Westerfield, New York, brought us, those are real rarities. The Cracker Barrel, and there are crackers in it, the spice and tea canisters and the coffee grinder and the hooked cheese cutter, and all these bring back memories of the past, and the whole thing, when you see it, will bring back memories of an old country store that you used to know and that mighty fine man, the old country storekeeper.
Oh, the old storekeeper was a neighborly man, ran his business on the neighborly plan. He was a friend to everybody, far and near. Played Santa Claus every day in the year to barefooted youngsters who came to his store, longing for things they could not buy. Now the old storekeeper isn't with us anymore, but let's never let his memory die.
I well remember something hard to locate anymore, a really true and genuine old-fashioned country store with bolts and bolts of calico and shelves along the wall and work shirts, caps, and brogan shoes, cloth gloves, and overalls. It had a Cracker Barrel that stood there on the floor and a glass case filled with jewelry up front beside the door. The tea was stored in canisters with funny-sounding names, and overhead hung buggy whips and pots and picture frames. It had a funny odor that, on the whole, was nice. A rancid smell of bacon and a pungent smell of spice. A smell of fresh ground coffee and brand new saddle leather. Tobacco smoke and old hoop cheese all blended in together. There was no high-pressure salesman when you came into shop. No one rushed up to demonstrate a brand new kind of mop. But the clerk would shyly greet you with a friendly kind of smile and sort of start to chat with you and visit for a while. And after you'd talked a spell, he'd kind of offhand say, as if it didn't matter, was there anything today? And whether it was mustard seed or safety pins or soap, he'd wait on you as if your trade was the merchant's only hope. All the modern stores are stylish with their bright goods on the shelf, and the little wagon that you push while you're waiting on yourself. But I sometimes get to wishing I could go back just once more and unearth some new surprises in a real old country store.
Now the old storekeeper isn't with us anymore, but let's never let his memory die.
And how many of you can remember when the old neighborhood country store was the social as well as the business center for the whole community? On rainy days, in the evenings, or whenever anybody had time to loaf a little, the country store was the place they always chose to do it in. And to a certain extent, this is still true in rural communities. Of course, with better roads bringing city nightlife nearer, With movies in the village theaters and TVs in the homes, there's no longer the necessity for gathering at the country store to keep up with the times and swap the news, but there's still something mighty comfortable and comforting about sitting around the big stove and whittling and talking, arguing politics, or just exchanging views on current matters. Sort of a poor man's club, like the old watermill used to be, in communities that were too thinly settled to boast a store. Well, time moves on, and with its passing, we'll pass the country store. We're even thinking some of turning this one into a big antique shop. But if we do, you may be sure there'll be another country store to take its place along the small-town main street we hope to bring into existence here in the valley before too long. In the meantime, the old Renfro Valley Country Store is ticking right along. Anytime you're down this way, drop in and witness just such scenes as this song describes.
Back in the good old days of yore, when life moved on at a slower pace, the old-time Crossroads Country Store was always a neighborhood meeting place. Men sat around and cracked their jokes, ribbing each other on the sly, waiting around for the women folks to get whatever they came to buy. Down at the Renfro Valley Store, folks all gather around the store once more, have a lot of fun like we did before, down at the Renfro Valley Store. Here's Mammy Hyatt, who's always made the trip through the sunshine, rain, or snow, to bring her butter and eggs to trade for sugar and coffee and calico. Here's Butch Clark and his sister Grace, the big round nickel they have to spend. Bought enough candy in the good old days to spare a piece for each little friend. Down at the Renfro Valley Store, folks all gather around the store once more, have a lot of fun like we did before, down at the Renfro Valley Store. Fresh ground coffee, cinnamon spice, apples and oranges, citronelle, new saddle leather and fertilizer, the country store had a wonderful smell. Bacon, dry goods, collars and hanes, beeswax, milk buckets, hammers and files, not mixed together like some folks claim, but all stacked together in orderly piles. Down at the Renfro Valley Store, folks all gather round the store once more, have a lot of fun like we did before, down at the Renfro Valley Store.
And now Don Harper, who's a frequent hanger-out at the Renfro Valley Store, will lead us out on a little instrumental number for this next announcement. He wants to play Danny Boy, and I do hope it's the old-fashioned way, Don. Folks, you know everybody is always hammering away and passing out a lot of advice to the youngsters, much of which goes unheeded. But I wonder if we're talking enough to them about reckless driving, or what's even more dangerous, getting in cars with boys and girls who are known to be inclined to drive too fast and take too many chances. And in the first place, you might as well give up all thought of taking the mania for speed out of a youngster. You had it when you were a boy. The only difference is you'd get on a horse and run him as fast as he'd go. Your son gets in a car and wants to go as fast as it'll take it. But have you ever stopped to think of another difference between your case and his? You were a boy and wanted to run your horse all the time. You had a father who thought enough of you that he wouldn't let you break your neck doing it. He was on the job enough to see that you didn't. Now, are you that careful of the life of your own son or daughter? Careful enough to see that they drive at a safe speed themselves and stay out of cars with reckless drivers, or take a chance on killing a car full of kids just to show out as a hot rodder? Now, if you're not, then you're not the father to your children that your father was to you. Don't expect them to not drive fast. Don't leave it up to them to not drive fast. You just see to it that they don't. They may not like as well for it right now, but they live a lot longer, long enough to realize that you're right and thank you for it. Russ and Joe sing the special request number for today. It's for Miss Sarah Meeks of Monroe, Michigan, W.O. Wright of Dayton Plains, Michigan, and William Carley of Geneseo, Illinois, all with birthdays today. And requested number, no secret what God can do.
Chimes of time ring out the news, another day is through. Someone tripped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Just do not be disheartened. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret.
Folks in our audience this morning who've traveled many miles to be here. They include Mr. and Ms. H.A. Petsnick of Wilmore, Minnesota, Ms. Eva A. Shramsky of St. Paul, Minnesota, Mr. and Ms. Cecil Benson of Riceville, Iowa, Mr. and Ms. John M. Boswell of Chatham, Ontario, Canada, and Mr. and Ms. Louis Stewart of Romeo, Michigan. We have a dedication to make this morning for our closing hymn. We'd like to dedicate it to Mr. and Ms. Wayne Wolfe of Roseville, Illinois, Mr. and Ms. Cyrus James of Louisville, Kentucky, who are also down here visiting with us this morning and attending the gathering. And the hymn is, God Will Take Care of You. Okay, Miss Beth.
Every day.
folks, it's been a real pleasure to have you with us this morning. As I say, our crowds are not so big as usual, not like they are in the summertime, but it's just all the more friendly and intimate when the crowds are not so big and when we're in not such a big room and all sit around and enjoy each other, maybe even a little more. So if you want to come on down now, instead of waiting for the nice weather that we hope the summer will bring, you just come ahead. You'll be very welcome, and we'll be glad to see you. And we do hope that you'll try to be with us, either in person or by radio, next Sunday for another Renfro Valley Gathering.